Today in New Zealand history, the 27th of January, D'Urville in the French Pass.
On 27th of January 1827, the French corvette Astrolabe emerged triumphant but battered from a five-day struggle with currents and storms in the narrow passage which separates D'Urville Island from the mainland. It was the first time that a European ship had penetrated this maelstrom with which so many New Zealanders are now familiar. The French officers insisted that the name of their commander, Dumont D'Urville, should be given to the island and that the channel should be called the French Pass. Dumont D'Urville is undoubtedly entitled to take place second only to Cook amongst the early discoverers in New Zealand. He was a lucky man. When he failed in his examinations for the Polytechnique, he went to sea and devoted himself to the study of navigation, science, and languages. At the age of 30, when in the ship Chevrette, he recognized the Venus de Milo statue when it was excavated, and he was responsible for its being acquired for the Louvre. In 1822, he was second in command of the Coquille on the search for La Perouse. Now, in 1826, he was commanding the same ship, but renamed the Astrolabe. Leaving Sydney in December 1826, the French ship anchored in Astrolabe Roads, near Motueka, the first European ship to enter Blind Bay since Tasman. On the 23rd, he approached the southern end of the channel between D'Urville Island and the main. Almost immediately, he found the pass so narrow and the seas so rough that he had to anchor. He lost one anchor and 70 fathoms of cable, but held tenaciously to his task with only one heavy anchor. Every few hours, D'Urville hove up his anchor and made sail, always in the same direction. Just as often, he was set back and had to anchor again and occasionally to launch the boats, to haul the ship off the rocks, or to lay out kedges for next day's exertions. Once, the tide rip caught her with great force and spun the ship about, and the boats only managed to stop her within 40 yards of the shore. For 4 days on end, the struggle lasted. The crew worked 12 hours a day clearing the cables, which constantly fouled when the ship swung round. Each time some advance was made, the tide turned and the wind fell or swung round. The intrepidity of the French commander is beyond all praise. Though his crew was badly selected and inexperienced, he kept up their hopes and showed them an example of courage and steadfastness. Never for a moment did he weaken in his determination to get through the pass, yet he did not neglect the scientific pursuits of the expedition. While the vessel was grinding to and fro in the maelstrom, D'Urville, with his botanists and artists, landed on one side of the channel or the other, surveying the country, gathering specimens, and making observations towards Admiralty Bay, which was his unfailing goal. The night of the 27th seemed the most dangerous of the whole tense struggle. Morning broke to a prospect almost of despair. Yet, providentially, tide and wind soon conspired, and the Astrolabe glided smoothly out into the waters of Admiralty Bay. D'Urville's intercourse with the Maoris in this district was uniformly considerate and kindly. He punished severely any offences committed by his men against them.
Tomorrow's title in this series, South African VC.